in 2 weeks we'll start talking a little bit about the plan that God is really putting together. This week we're just going to be talking about what God has been doing in our lives individually. Maybe there'll be time at the end to ask questions or whatever. We'll see how it goes. But let me pray. Father, we're grateful for your faithfulness, and I'm grateful in my life and Danielle's life, and for the lives of those who are here. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I pray that you would continue to remind us that you sustain us, and that you are what makes this vaporous life of ours worth anything, and you work in us. And so we pray that your glory would be shown through what you've done in my life and Danielle's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll talk about our individual callings. I'll go first, and then I'll ask Danielle to come up and talk a bit about what she's, what God has done in her life. In about 2001, I grew up in an evangelical church and going to youth group. And in about 2001, 2002, I came back from school. I quit school. I didn't have any work or anything like that. And so I started volunteering with my junior high group at church. I had time on my hands, and I liked junior high when I was in junior high. So I'm like, okay, I'll just start volunteering with my church. That eventually turned into a summer-long internship, actually getting paid to work with kids. I really didn't have a clue as to what ministry was or anything. No clue. Was never really taught as to what ministry looked like or anything. And so a lot of this is kind of that planning with presumption. I just assumed that, you know, oh, going into ministry, God must will it, so let's do it, whatever. And enjoyed it. And that turned into a year-long internship in another youth ministry, a little one that's fairly well-known. And that kind of came about because I was rejected by the Moody Bible Institute. I wanted to go to Moody to go into youth ministry and become a youth pastor. My views on youth ministry and being a youth pastor have changed quite a bit since then, even in the last couple of years. But at that time, I really didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, providentially, God rejected me from Moody Bible Institute. Spent a year doing youth ministry practically and didn't like it. Wasn't really, the youth ministry here in the States wasn't all that great. But what I did get an experience, exposure to, is my first mission trip. And in 2003, for several weeks, spent several weeks in the Czech Republic. This is my first really exposure outside of America besides, you know, Thunder Bay north of here and maybe Tijuana in Mexico. But it's really my first exposure, one, to missions, and two, overseas in another culture in another language. And it was crazy. I thought I would hate it. I was big into politics. I wasn't big into the politics of Europe. Now I really care less about, well, care less, whatever. Now I just don't have a heart of politics. And when I got to Europe, I just loved the people. You know, you watch the news and you pay attention to what people say about other people. You know, the news talks about people in Iraq and Iran, and people talk about the people, or the news talks about people in Israel and in China and North Korea and South Korea, but they're full of individuals. And it was amazing to meet some of the individuals in the Czech Republic, to meet some people overseas, and to see ministry overseas, and to see the need of the gospel in these countries. Danielle's going to talk a little bit more about this, but it was my first exposure to, you know, here in the States, you go and you can ask somebody if they go to church. Oh, yeah, you know, they go to church. Our culture's changing a little bit, but, you know, you go to UPS store, and there's a Christian at the UPS store working there. You go to Caribou, there's a Christian working at Caribou. You do those things in Czech Republic or Austria, chances are you are not going to run into somebody who attends church, a Catholic church or an evangelical church. I mean, they just don't go. They don't think about God. They plan presumptuously. Anyway, so after basically seeing the need of the people overseas and seeing the need for the gospel to be preached. I attended Moody Bible Institute. I was accepted the second time. Attended the Moody Bible Institute under the missions department, not really caring much about theology, just really wanting to understand theology, really wanted to understand missions and specifically teaching English to speakers of other languages. That was the ministry that I was going to do, work with youth and evangelism and stuff like that, and build the church through doing that. Well, I was exposed to the doctrines of grace at Moody Bible Institute, and it was amazing. Woke me up to the greatness that theology is, and really how it motivated me for God's glory, not just for the need of the people. And it really motivated me rightly, as James talks about. And I just started thinking about theology, started thinking about correct theology, and just wanting to, you know, learn more about God so that my desires were His desires. And so that's kind of how God was moving in my life at that time. Danielle's going to come up here and talk a little bit about her experience, because that brings me up to when we get married, and then Danielle can kind of do that same thing.
Intimidating.
It's not protecting anything.
Okay, so my passion and desire for missions was really cultivated a lot earlier than Bobby. I grew up in an evangelical church as well. I was saved at a very young age and loved the gospel and loved the Lord, and God was very gracious with me in my life to just hold me fast in faith to Him. So I thank Him for that. That's just kind of a brief background. But I remember when I was late elementary age, I was introduced for the first time to that passage in Romans 10, which I'm just going to read because I don't want to misquote it for you. But it's Romans 10:13. It says, "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ." And I heard that passage when I was really young, and I remember this little girl running up to my pastor after church and just being really anxious and excited and talking with him and saying, "How do we go and preach the word of Christ? We got to go now. Who's going? You know, like, you got to send some people. Like, let's get on the field, you know." And even at that age, God just did something in my life that gave me this desire to go and make sure people were hearing the word of God and hearing about Christ. And so then later on, I mean, I continued with that same passion all through school. I remember in junior high, there was this computer program that they brought in for us junior hires to help us determine what career that we're suited for based on our personalities and skills. So I remember filling out this big long questionnaire of my skills and things I'm interested in, and getting this long list of possible careers that I would be really well suited for. And I was looking through all these careers and all my friends' careers, and I was just thinking to myself, all of these sound terrible. I do not want to do any of this stuff. Missionary never shows up on a questionnaire like that. And like, that's all I want to do. I just want to go and share the gospel. I don't want to be a university professor or whatever they're telling me to do. So I remember just thinking it was really funny and not wanting to do any of those and feeling kind of discouraged, like, I don't have anything, or I can't do any of this stuff. But obviously the Lord had a different plan for me, not these traditional careers. So anyway, with that passion for missions, I obviously jumped on the very first mission trip I was old enough to go on. And so the youth group that I grew up in had a lot of mission trips available to the students throughout the years. So the very first one I was able to go on was a mission trip to Mexico when I was 15. And I went there, and just being able to serve and being able to talk about the gospel, it just was this confirmation of, yes, this is really what I was made to do, and I want to do this. And then when I turned 16 the next year, there was a gentleman who came to our church to be an intern who had been working in the Czech Republic, and he started these English camps for the Czech Republic, which were evangelistic English camps where you work with a church in the Czech Republic, and they invite people in, and they teach English from English speakers, and then the students that are coming know that they're going to be hearing the Bible and a gospel presentation throughout the week in the evening. So I went on this mission trip and was absolutely shocked when I got there. And at first, I'm like, the Czech Republic, where's that? You know, I'm like, okay, somewhere in Europe, let's try to find it. Okay, little country, I don't know anything about it. So we went there, and we had discussion groups in the evening where you could just talk and kind of hear from the students, you know, the things that they believed and what they've heard of the Bible and things like that. And I remember meeting people who said to me they had never, ever once in their life heard the name Jesus before. And I was shocked. I'm like, what? You haven't heard the name? Everybody's at least heard the name Jesus, whether or not you know what he did or not. At least you know his name. But they didn't know his name. And then there were other people that shocked me even further, saying that they didn't even believe, they didn't know if they believed that God existed. And I thought from my, you know, young mind, well, at least everyone knows God exists. I mean, that's like the most basic, right? And I was just blown away at the lack of the gospel, the lack of the word, even debating on whether or not God exists. It just, it surprised me, and it really gave me this just strong passion for Europe specifically, because I had no idea that a lot of the countries in Europe are like that, and people just don't have those fundamentals at all, you know. So that's when the Lord really started leading me toward Europe in general. And then I went on that same mission trip every summer, pretty much following that for many, many years, probably like at least 10 times I did that camp. So during that time, I graduated from high school, and I started attending Moody Bible Institute because I knew they had a very strong Bible theology training and really strong missions department. So I joined the missions department, and I did my major in TESOL, teaching English to speakers of other languages, because I could just see how that's a really good tool just to even get to know people and build relationships, because English, you know, we're blessed with the international language, so you can use that to get to know people really easily and build those relationships. So I did that, and then I came home every summer to my church that I had grown up in and continued to do this Czech mission trip. And then one year, this random guy shows up as an intern, and he comes up to me when I come home for the summer. We're doing the Czech meetings. He comes up to me and he says, "Oh, so you go to Moody, huh? That, you know, I tried to get in there, but I didn't get in. And then, I'm really trying to get there, though." And then eventually, later, he says to me, "You know, so if I can't get into Moody, I guess I'll just have to marry a Moody student. And since you're the only one that I know, you're it." Yes. So anyway, Bobby was a little... That's funny. Anyways.
It was a little funny. I'm no longer funny.
So anyway, we ended up going two different summers on the trip together, and I got to know him a little bit better, and then he started attending Moody.
Without getting married to her, I was accepted.
Yes. So anyway... Yeah, so I guess that's just really, I mean, a lot of my background, and Bobby's going to talk then later after we were married. We ended up going, well, actually, I should back up. For graduation from Moody, we're required to do an internship, and they don't want you to go to a place that you've already been because they're trying to broaden a little bit of your scope. And so I ended up being assigned to Romania and Austria for the summer of my internship doing different evangelistic things and English camps as well. And Austria had always been a fascination to me. I had a friend from my church who was serving there for many years, and she would come home and talk to me about it and just about the ministry and the people. And I was very briefly introduced by her to the spiritual condition in Austria and just how hard of a mission field it is. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about that specifically, so you get to know them. But it is just devastated spiritually. And so that always was kind of in the back of my mind. And I was very interested in the culture, too. They're just very relational in their ministry, which is kind of more how I like to be, too. So I was very interested in Austria. And then for my internship, when I went there, when I was actually exposed to it, I just fell in love with the people, with the culture, and just broken for the spiritual condition. And so God really started cultivating this passion for Austria specifically. Even though I had been to the Czech so many times and loved working there, and there's a huge, huge need in Czech too, I kind of just always knew, like, this maybe isn't where I'm supposed to be, but it's, you know, Europe is where my passion and where the Lord was really stirring my heart for, until I went to Austria, and then that's where that started up too. So I'll let Bobby continue with our story then.
Yes, I actually did say those things. It was a fun time. In 2006, August 5th, 2006, actually, we got married. It's the same as Lucas and Gina, exact same day. It's kind of fun. And Gideon is only 9 days older younger than Johanna, and we're having kids the same year again. But anyway, we got married, and I had to finish up my Moody career. I had one more semester left, and finished that up, and then I had to do an internship. Instead of doing an internship like Danielle did, going to Austria and Romania, I got married instead of the internship. So I thought that was a better plan. I think it was a better plan. But I still had to do an internship, and so in 2007, Danielle and I signed up to go to Austria, because Danielle was saying, you've been to the Czech Republic, you need to come to Austria. I need to show you what's happening in Austria. And so we called up a mission organization, talked with them. They eventually agreed to take us on. We were planning on only being there for, you know, 3 months or something like that, a typical internship. But we agreed to stay there for a whole year. Apparently, we agreed to stay there for 2 years. I didn't know that. But we had to leave actually after a year because of just the fact that we didn't get our residence visas, and they said you have to go home now. And so it was only a year long. With that year, let me make sure I'm going in the right chronological order here. With that year, we took 5 months to learn German. We were formally learning German three hours a day, four days a week. And then after that, during the summer, we did English camps like we were planning on doing. Our ministry was still mainly English camp as outreach and youth. And so after the summer, we worked in a local church in Austria, and worked with their youth, did a youth Bible study in our home, and worked with a youth ministry in the church as well, getting together with the youth and doing Bible study. In the middle of our internship, in the middle of our year, we were asked to consider church planting. And we hadn't the foggiest of what church planting was, what it looked like. How do you start a church plant? What is a church plant? Like, what are you talking about? And so those things, they said, put that in your minds. And so it was in our minds. We came back at the beginning of 2009. And then that summer, I was asked to be the interim college and career director at our old church. And that means I would be preaching every Tuesday, more like teaching, not necessarily preaching, but teaching every Tuesday night, a set of, post-teens, 20-somethings, people who are just kind of getting out of a youth ministry. And the church wants to reach out to them. And so I did that. I agreed to that for just a year because our plans were still go back to Austria. I didn't want to, be tied to anything. And so we said, yeah, I'll do that for a year. It was a great experience being able to teach and things like that. But still feeling uncertain about church planting. You know, what is this church planting? What does it even look like? We were in a church of about 2,000 people. It was started 30 plus years ago. The people who started it weren't even at the church anymore. And so we're thinking, you know, we can't necessarily be trained here, you know, but we don't want to leave our home church. What missionary planning on leaving for the mission field would leave their home church? That's nonsense. But we weren't feeling comfortable with it. After I got done with my year and with college and career, teaching the college and career, I dedicated the month of August to just reading through the scriptures. We basically canceled whatever we were going to do, and we just read. Whenever I wasn't working, I would, you know, get up in the morning, read. Generally, it took about 5 hours a day to get through it in a month. And I'm not saying this because, like, I'm great and everything like that. I'm saying this because we didn't have a child. And Danielle dedicated her time to reading the New Testament and reading through John Piper's Let the Nations Be Glad. Just to kind of, you know, reorient herself with, you know, what is the glory of God in missions? And so, you know, we were dedicating ourselves to presuming rightly. We dedicated ourselves to really understand what the Word of God says about these things. And, you know, I was coming across passages of, of Ezra preaching to the people, just the book, just going through the book and preaching to the people, not taking psychological ideas and just taking scripture and meshing them together and this and that, you know, and I'm like, this is something that needs to happen in Austria. Preaching the Word of God needs to happen in Austria. And then, you know, I came across Acts 13, and Acts 13 says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manane, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. What were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And I come to that and I'm like, this is missions. This is missionaries being sent out. And this is happening from within the local church, a sort of preparation and an identification and a calling. And, you know, we come out of this month of really seeking God and needing, knowing that we needed to have a plan that was right. That God had, a plan that God had. And so we started praying. Just, you know, God, what do you want us to do? And it just came about that Danielle and I had decided we need more training. We don't know what church planting is like. We need more training. And we need pastors and elders who would be able to invest in us, have the ability to invest in us, to identify the Spirit's work in our life. We told you our journeys up until getting married, and really, God works through a lot of different ways, you know, but not until we really started to say, you know what, Lord, this is what do you want? We want to be in Austria, but what do you want? And that just kind of led us to essentially give up Austria by going to a new church, a church that was 2.5 years old at the time, a church plant from north of the cities that was right in the middle of planting, and elders who we came to GCBC a week before Gideon was born, a week before Johanna was born. Actually, Johanna was born the next week. I remember seeing Gina really pregnant, and Danielle was really pregnant at the same time. We come here and we hear the word preached. And I'm like, yes, this man is preaching the word. He's preaching the gospel. And we met afterwards, and he said, "Hey, let me take you out for coffee on Thursday." Like the pastor who's preaching is just gonna go up and take me out for coffee? That's weird. I grew up at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, by the way. That's a pretty large church. kind of difficult to just go have lunch with the pastor, you know, on a Thursday morning or whatever. And so this is a new thing. And I meet with him and he says, I'm not looking to build an empire. I'm looking to plant churches. And I'm like, that's great, because we're looking to plant a church in Austria. Would you like to partner with us? And so I'm just like, you know, I tell Pastor Jeff, this is kind of what we've been planning, but you know what, we want to be trained. We don't know what church planting is like. And he's like, we're in the middle of it. We can partner with you guys. And so I'm like, wow, this is a huge blessing. It was painful because we had to leave the church Danielle grew up in. We had to leave a church where, like, all of our friends that I had been gathering in the last, you know, 8 years previous, and I had grown in ministry and stuff like that. You know, we were leaving our home church that we were missionaries with, and that was a painful transition. But man, when we came to GCBC and met with the elders and the leadership, we knew that God was doing something in our lives through just obedience to being under a leadership that could be intimate with us, that could see us, see our lives, that we could live with. I mean, this sermon, I said it at the beginning of the sermon, but Pastor Rich invested in me at this, in this sermon. I mean, I took expository preaching and homiletics this last year, and you know, any of you guys going through driver's training yet? No, not yet? Okay. Well, you'll go through driver's training, and you won't know how to drive until you start driving. And so, that's kind of how it's like. And so, what happened was, you're going to get in the car with your parents, and parents, don't freak out. You're going to get in the car with your parents. Well, you'll get in the car with your mother, And they'll start to give you advice. Listen, okay? Listen to them. Because your driving training, they're going to tell you this is how it's done. And then your parents have the real life situations that you're like, no, pay attention here now. Pay attention here now. And do you see this over here? Pay attention to this as well. You see this, you're coming up to a cross street. Pay attention here. That's what's going to happen. You don't have that with just sitting in a class, okay? So, man, you know, I'm writing this sermon and Pastor Rich just invests in that. Pay attention here to what you're saying. Pay attention here to how you phrase this, or pay attention here to how your outline, you know, doesn't flow. You know, and so, man, this is what I was looking at in Acts 13. They you know, the leaders knew who Saul and Barnabas were, and they were in a local church, sent out by a local church. So that really is what brought us, I mean, God really just brought us here. We still had a plan on leaving in 2011. So we're like, hey, could you guys for the next year, you know, develop us? Pastor Rich at the time was still in seminary, still working, and doing this, preaching every Sunday. I don't know how he could do it. You know, and they're like, okay, maybe, you know. Eventually, I meet with a couple people that I knew that I really respected, and several of them had made a comment of, have you ever thought about going to seminary? And I'm like, well, not really, because we're going to Austria in 2011. I don't have time for seminary. And then I hear, I think it was David Brainerd. Somebody at the end of his life, David Brainerd, they're like, shouldn't you have skipped the 4 years you did training and then done 6 years in missions instead of 2 years? And he says, no, because the 4 years in training is what prepared me for the 2 years to be significant. I heard a quote that Billy Graham said that he wished he had done more studying rather than more preaching. And so I'm coming to here and I'm like, okay. I wonder if God is telling me that I really should do seminary. And so I come to the leadership at GCBC and I say, you know what? Our plans are to go to Austria in 2011, but I think that I should do some training. And this was really difficult again, because we have supporters who have been with us for years, And, you know, our plans were to go in 2011. We say, hey, we're going to be going in 2011. Would you like to support us? Yeah, great. I mean, that wasn't the, you know, gist of it. You'll hear it in a couple of weeks. Don't worry about it. And so, you know, we have supporters and we feel this weight of, oh, we need to go. But then, you know, I come to the elders and they're like, yeah, we've been kind of praying about that, that you would, you know, see the value of being involved in the church, not just for a year or whatever, and doing seminary training and everything like that. And like they've been praying about it. That's great, because this is what I've been praying about. And I had no clue you guys were praying about it. You didn't know, whatever. And so God just providentially moved in that way. So I started seminary training. And I was working for 40 hours a week and taking 3 classes, and that was really tough. I got to see Gideon maybe three times a week, maybe 4 times a week. You know, get up in the morning, go to class, work the closing shift because the classes are in the morning and afternoon. And so I come to the elders. I'm like, I'm going to get done in 7 years. I'm like, I'm not sure that this is what I had in mind. And so providentially, soon after, Scott Folks, our missionary to Spain, Scott and Julie came, and Scott preached, and he presented what was going on in Spain. And we just talked with him afterwards. Pastor Rich and I were just talking with him. And Scott talked about how Eden Baptist had hired him as sort of, you know, an assistant pastor or whatever. You know, they hired him to do some administrative stuff and things like that. And that helped him get through seminary, that he was able to spend time in seminary training, along with being with the pastors and elders at the church. I was working 40 hours a week. I wasn't able to really get to anywhere that the pastors were doing, you know, anything that the pastors were doing, because I'm doing seminary, and so it just wasn't working. So the elders thought, you know, well, I think we could take him on as a pastoral assistant. And that is, just to let you know, the pastoral assistant job is I make copies for pastor. I do random things that need to happen. You know, I don't have any leadership here or anything like that. Part of our support, part of our income, comes from GCBC, but we do have a lot of supporters who have committed to us. And they support us during this process. And so we still have supporters. God has provided that way. And so, you know, that's kind of what God has been doing. That kind of brings us up to speed here. I was able to take more classes. At the moment, I'm planning on graduating in May of this coming year. But even going through this, like I said, you know, going through this passage of James and planning rightly, you know, planning according to God's plan and presuming rightly, you know, we're not sure, you know, that that's necessarily going to happen, but that's the plan for now. Graduate in May, and then, you know, in a year and a half, you know, Lord willing, we'll be in Austria. And what's great about Grace Community Bible Church is that grace groups are great. I love grace groups. God is preparing me through grace groups, just being with our group and learning from everybody else and people who are not like me, and it's great. And then the last year and a half up until now, Brian York just took over the children's program. I'd been kind of running that, organizing that for the last year and a half, and for the first half year I was teaching some of these guys, and it was just a lot of fun being involved in these guys' life. And so God has been providentially moving us in this direction through Grace Community Bible Church and through just what we've done as a married couple, and being able to get to know you guys has been great, and we're very blessed. Just recently, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but just recently God has placed several people in Austria in our life, and it just so happened that the week that Pastor Dan preached the Just So Happened from Esther, we had a couple from Innsbruck come to Minnesota who we didn't really know, you know, we didn't know they were going to be here, and God just brings them to us, and it just really encouraged us and just really got to, you know, great time to get to know them and everything like that. And it's It's been a blessing, though. And so that should kind of hopefully give you a picture of what God's been doing in our lives. We have time if you guys have questions about anything I said. Yeah, Paul.
How did you find GCBC?
How did we find GCBC? Nine Marks website.
Okay.
Yep, Nine Marks of Healthy Church. Funny story, we visited a church called Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, in November. We were vacationing. And we found them on the Nine Marks website. And we go and we're like, Nine Marks is a good resource. That's pretty good. And so I went on the website and I saw GCBC. I started listening to Pastor, his preaching. And I'm like, okay, solid church. Let's see, and they're a young church. They're, 2.5 years old. And so the first day we came was the first, it was the first church meeting. Pastor Rich is like, hey, just stick around. You get to hear where we've been and where we're going and everything. I'm like, oh, cool. We're driving home. Is this the church? Is this where we're supposed to be going? So
we were saying, we can't just go and visit a church once and decide that that's the one we just down. Isn't the good American way to shop around for a while? Before you, settle on one? But
yeah, we had at least 20 churches to visit, right? So. Jim?
Put you on the spot, Buck. What are some of the main takeaways from spending the extra time in seminary and the time in a church planting church that you already know is going to change your guys' approach once you get to Austria?
Okay. So the question is, what are the takeaways from being in seminary and being involved in the local church and being groomed and developed here? That's about it? Okay. Which helped the change in approach? Is that right?
In your ministry.
In our ministry. Okay. I think the number one thing is the God works through the local church. God works through the local church. And our ministry was basically geared towards almost a parachurch ministry, which was English camp using English as outreach. Okay, and then working with youth, but not necessarily being as a leader in a local church, and that's really being in seminary and being involved in the leadership, not being involved in being involved with the leadership, really helped me understand how crucial the local church and the local church leadership is, and how crucial it is that they are trained, that they know, especially going overseas where. What are we going to face, And so, it's been great being able to, work with Pastor Dan and Pastor Don and Pastor Pastor Jeff, just seeing how, I need to be a godly man. I need to be rightly understanding God. And just seeing the that God works through the local church, and that, church planting, God will plant his church, and that's how he's going to reach people. Not just by me converting individuals and then them being whatever. So Sammy?
Do you feel you pick the church as a dime out of a dozen, and do you feel you pick the right choice?
Do we feel like we picked the church like a dime out of a dozen, and do we feel like we made the right choice? What does it mean to choose a dime out of a dozen? I think God has providentially worked in our lives that he placed us here. Now, I can say, oh yeah, I chose to go to Nine Marks website and listen to some sermons, and then we chose... A funny thing, we were going to go to Eden Baptist Church that morning because it was later in the day. It was starting at 9 instead of 8:30. But Danielle's like, no, you've been listening to Pastor Rich, haven't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, and you like him, yeah? Yeah, well, let's just go. Okay, well, okay. And so God worked that way. Did I make the right choice? Well, yeah, because here I am. So. Anything else? Well, could you imagine? Yes, Hudson.
Are you going to be staying in Australia? Like, what are you going to be doing for the first 2 years before you start a church?
Mm-hmm. What are we going to be doing? That's in 2 weeks. That's in 2 weeks. So you come back. You come back. It's still part of it. I mean, part of it is still we're presuming rightly, we're planning accordingly, and we're praying humbly. Part of it is still, you know, we don't have everything down, you know, and so God's doing. I'm meeting with people online who are in Austria and chatting with them, building relationships, and internet's great because, you know, several years ago we'd have to spend a couple thousand dollars to all fly out there and meet these people, but you know, it's so yeah, you'll have to find out what's happening in 2 weeks. Yeah, Bob.
What do you need in the short term that you don't have?
What do I need in the short term that I don't have? Prayer. Wait, I do have that too. Okay. Time. Okay, yeah. What do I need in the short term? We're essentially, God has provided for what we need financially up until now. I think we're still financially, you know, we need a little bit more to finish seminary, essentially. That's something that just is continuously we're trying to raise support for that. And eventually, actually, I mean, we're going to be starting our support raising for what we'll need in Austria, and we don't have that. We don't have that. I mean, we barely have what we need right now. I don't know what else we don't have.
Well, we're preparing what we need to meet with churches soon.
Yeah. Pray for us, because this is part of the process of meeting with other churches and getting meetings with other churches. I'm going to be invited to preach at these churches and to present what we're doing. And you know, there's still, you know, plans are up in the air. You know, we're going to tell you in 2 weeks what we have planned already. But you know what? Some of the stuff is just, it's not quite ready. It's not there. And so, I'm still trying to get a presentation that's good, so that, you know, that explains what's happening, so that you guys can see it in 2 weeks. You know, and so we don't necessarily have that. We don't have the connections with the churches yet. We haven't connected with the churches yet, and so that's something we need. Paul?
I think you said people are praying for you, but more informed, we can pray better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing, but you just helped us see how we can pray better. Give them a picture of what the next, or we're getting ready to head into new semester.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a picture of what your schedule looks like how many classes, your life, because when I hear it, I'm like, wow.
Okay.
It reminds me of nightmares I had for the last 6 years ago when I was in seminary.
Okay.
Well, it would help, because people understand how to pray for specific classes. And
Okay. The plan is that I'll be taking 8 classes this next semester.
Eight.
One of them is the pastoral internship, which is not, it's not credited and it doesn't have homework. I just need to do things like this more often, preaching on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or things like that, which kind of is extra homework. Actually, it's kind of worse than homework. so yeah, 8 classes is the plan. And then Gideon, new baby going to be born at the beginning of the semester. So we'll see what happens. That's the plan at the moment. But visa laws might be changing in Austria, so it might not be crucial that I graduate next May. I could get done at the end of the fall semester of 2014 and still be gone at the end of 2014. So there's things that might be able to be finagled. But that's Greek and Hebrew at the same time. Several other classes that just, you know, lots of homework. So if you'd be praying for wisdom for that, Jeanette.
So with the baby coming,
yeah,
you have Gideon.
Yeah.
You're taking 8 classes. You're working with Pastor Rich. How much time are you actually at home? And will Danielle ever see you again? Honestly, will Danielle need extra support and help from the body here while you're gone? And is there a plan or a way that we can step up, you know, so you can, you know,
uh-huh. So the question was, if there's something that GCBC as a body can do to help out with all this stuff.
It also sounds like you're gone
yeah.
all day.
Because it sounds like I'm gone all day studying all day.
Is that kind of how your days are?
No, not necessarily, but I haven't taken 8 classes before, so we don't know. We don't know. We'll make sure you guys know.
We do just for your, so you know, we do have a schedule that we try to maintain so that I know when I can expect him to be home and so that Gideon will get to see him at least a certain amount of time every day. And so we try to hold very firm to that. And the only way that, you know, on rare circumstances, can he do, you know, if he really has a huge something tomorrow, then maybe he can have some extra time. But generally, we hold to a schedule where he is home from such and such time. And then also, we live above my parents' business. This is my mom right here. And then this is my mother-in-law. So they are both very helpful to me as well because she's right downstairs. So during the day, if I'm freaking out or something, I can, you know, say, hey, can you come up here? And Faye will come down anytime I call her too, right? So, yeah, so I call my mom a lot when I need to take a shower. So we are...
We're pretty blessed.
Yes, we're blessed.
Yeah.
We're not without support, at least. So, I mean, but obviously, please pray for us because it is a lot of work. Well, it's a ton of work for Bobby and pressure. And it's stressful for me. So you can pray that he can bear all of the pressure and the weight of it, and pray that you can pray for my attitude, that I'm kind and loving and helpful during it and not demanding of his time. So those are some specific prayers that you can pray for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's...
Less, Naomi?
Not too much has changed because you've been taking classes all summer.
Yeah, I took 8 classes this summer. So, well, 6, it equals 8 classes, transferring credits and everything like that. So it's, yeah. I mean, it's tough, but it's doable. I'm going to pray, and then we can go get our kids. Father, thank you so much for allowing me to recount your faithfulness to Danielle and I and what we do. And Lord, I pray that you continue to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.